This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Daily's dirty.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Presented by Mokarum Injury Lawyers.
Sports Radio 610, Houston Texans breaking news.
All right, that's the old Texan sounder right there. It is draft day. Let's get this thing started, baby. Dirty's Daily starting in dramatic fashion. T, what you got?
That is right. It is NFL draft day, so got to keep that head on a swivel. Multiple sources reporting not any first-round breaking news here for the Houston Texans. But reports are the Texans have traded their 2025 fifth-round pick and 2027 fifth-round pick to the Browns for Cleveland's 2025 sixth-round pick, 2025 sixth-round pick, and 2025 seventh-round pick. That was a typo by DJ Bianime, not me.
All right, hit that again.
Texans trade 2025 fifth-round, 2027 fifth-round picks to the Cleveland Browns for the Browns' 2025 sixth-round pick and a 2025 seventh-round pick.
And it leaves the Texans with 9 draft picks this year, but none in the fourth and fifth round right now. They've got 9 picks this year and no fourth or fifth round selections in
They're
the draft right now.
So I'm looking at the Texans. Here's the breakdown. This is from the Houston Texans Twitter. They're announcing their trade. The Texans are trading a 2025 fifth, a 2027 fifth, for a 2025 sixth, a 2025 sixth, and a 2025 seventh. So what you're looking at is they're giving up, ultimately they're giving up a fifth round pick this year to get 2 sixth and a seventh this year so that they have a bigger number of picks, which, by the way, the Texans' fifth round pick and the Browns' sixth round pick, it's not as far apart as it sounds, right? You think fifth, sixth round, what the hell are we doing? You're 12 or 13 slots back right there. And if you're betting on the Browns not being very good this year, which I imagine plenty of people are, their 2025 sixth round pick probably is not going to be too far from the Texans' 2025 fifth round pick. Or, 2027 fifth round pick. So the move here is it is 3 picks for 2. And I think Ron and Tyler, I think what
they're doing something.
Well, that exactly. So as you flush it out, you're stockpiling 2025 picks, right? You had to give up a 2027 pick, sure, but you moved a 2025 fifth round pick to get 3 more picks this year to package up with the extra 2 that you have this year already, right? You got an extra,
you got an extra 3. You got an extra 3 this year.
Yeah, you got an extra 3 this year. So, a lot of different picks flying around here.
But
so
no
sorry
fourth
for
or fifth round pick this year. No fourth and fifth round pick this year. 9 total picks.
Yep.
But no fourth and fifth round pick. So it to me screams, Clint, they're doing something.
Stockpiling picks this year. That's what they're doing. Texans are already moving. Now I don't think that is going to be considered. Would that be a draft move up or move back for? I guess it would be. It'd be a move back in the draft
for moves. Yeah.
for Nick. I mean, but for the Texans, here's what I want to do. By the way, Dirty's Daily, I love getting breaking news out of the gate, especially on draft day for the Texans. Houston, we appreciate you listening. This is a big day, obviously, for the Texans, and we greatly appreciate y'all tuning in and staying plugged into the Drive and Sports Radio 610. As long as we're on, man, I do want to remind folks out there, Dirty's Daily is powered by Mokarem Injury Lawyers. Hard as hell to say, easy to dial, 281-222-2222. What's this draft look like for the Texans? And let's see if we can't put a bow on this thing, Ron, which it obviously it obviously just changed right there. The Texans draft picks this year, you've got number 25 overall, so which is a first-round pick, a second-round pick, two third-round picks, and now you have two sixes and, hell, three seventh-round picks. So you got a bunch of picks. You got five picks between sixth and seventh-round pick. That's what you have this year. The big ones that you need to know about, the first-round pick, the second-round pick, and two third-round picks. Are right now, I would imagine Nick Caserio's making calls to package him up with what he just did. All those late round picks, I would imagine he's trying to move up somewhere, whether that's move up in the first round, move up from the second round back into the first, or move up in the whatever it may be, man. As Texans fans, this has to absolutely excite the hell out of you, no doubt about it. Now, so really, Ron, what we need to take from this is the point that was there all along, it just got strengthened, right, is that the Texans have plenty of additional draft picks to trade and move up in this draft. They got the extra three this year. Now they got all the extra late picks this year. They also have that extra two next year that came from the Laramie Tunsil trade. So they're primed and ready with premium picks as well as later-round picks to package up and move in this draft.
I'm getting to a point, Clint. I'm almost be surprised if they don't do nothing tonight.
Yeah, I'm with you.
They are just loading up to do something. I know many people. I see a lot of people on the text line on YouTube and Twitch. What is this? Clearly, I think they're doing something to help them make moves for something.
Yeah, and you're stockpiling picks, trading a fifth round pick for a bunch of late picks this year. You know, that's a bold move unless you know those are the picks. Those additional picks are gonna bolster something that you already have in the works. So, you know, I'd be shocked if we don't see D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio move up. I'd have been surprised before this move. Now I'll be shocked. Whether that's the first round or it's the second round, I'll be shocked if they don't move up for a more premium player there. Now the Texans need, guys, this is a lot tighter race for me, Ron, than I thought it would be. I thought I was going to be inside O-line, no doubt about it, no-brainer. There ain't even a close second. And I'm still interior offensive line. I think guard, center guard, which you see all the guards, a couple of guards that are probably going to be available, at least in the reach of the Texans. I'm still at interior O-line, but I think that wide receiver position that O'Leary and Stafford brought up a couple weeks ago, I do think that is a bigger issue and a bigger void than I think I probably gave credence to originally. And I think O-line, interior O-line and wide receiver are the two big, I think, just flashing neon signs in terms
Absolutely.
Of needs for this team.
Hell, what we've been talking about.
Yeah.
In the first round, at least.
Yeah. Also, on the defensive side of the football, I think interior defensive line is somewhere where if there is a premium player that they can go get, I think D'Amico will bolster that, get younger on the interior D-line as well as bolster that D-line. And then I think something to look out for, just keep your eyes open for, is the RB2. There ain't no way in hell. I know Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans will sell it. I mean, they'll sell the hell out of them. But you got two special teams guys right now. Like what do your two backup running backs do? Oh, that you lead with special teams. That can't be the case. You got it. There's got to be a guy at the running back RB2 position that brings more to the table. So I think that could be one of the early picks as well. So keep your eyes open there. The Texans' needs are the same. Now the front office tendencies, Ron, that we've talked about consistently recently. Nick Caserio is a mover, which we didn't have to wait till the draft started to figure that out. Hell, he's already moving and shaking. They got the extra pick this year in the third round, the extra pick next year in the second round, and he's moved. I don't even know if this counts as one of the moves, Ron, but we've said it a bunch. He's moved up in the draft 13 times since 2021. That leads all active GMs right now. So you got a, front office and a head coach that's not afraid to get aggressive early and often.
One way or another, yes, this damn sure counts. Shoot, this is what five or six picks that went back and forth in this deal with Cleveland. Damn, Cleveland, boy, I thought maybe Cleveland was like maybe we just stopped messing around.
Maybe we got to block the Texans.
But no, they made deals, they made moves. No, this is him being aggressive and I think this is we've seen him go either way. I do agree with you. And when we talked about it, I think this is a moment and a time to get aggressive, to move up, to go get somebody. I harping on this, and I've said this multiple times, Clint, they haven't made any move to me, with the exception of Tunsil, but then that was a move of, like, culture. They haven't made a move that says, damn it, we are going in to compete with the top of the NFL.
Yeah.
They made multiple moves like that last year. They haven't made that type of move yet this year, and this could be a move in that direction if they are going to get aggressive and to go get a guy that they want. Because I don't know if there are more than 20 real comfortable jump in day one starters, and obviously even less at the positions they need, receiver and O-line.
What Ron's talking about is the Texans. We had a little breaking news when this segment started. If you just jumped in, the Texans have already made a trade. They traded a 2025 fifth round pick and a 2027 fifth round pick. They packaged those two draft picks up, one this year, one in 2027. They shipped those to Cleveland, to the Browns, and in return they get three picks in this year's draft, a sixth-round pick, a sixth-round pick, and a seventh-round pick. The significance there is obviously the Texans are trying to put it, they're trying to sweeten a package to get a deal done, whether that's to move up for earlier draft picks, maybe it involves a player, Ron, that could come over in a trade. Either way it goes, stay plugged in to Sports Radio 610. Nick Caserio is already making moves. This is a big day, and we got you covered. We are down here at Avenida Plaza, right next to George R. Brown Convention Center, and there is food trucks, there's drinks, there's partying going on, there's tents everywhere, there's already people out here starting to thicken up, we're starting to see some jerseys, and we're rocking and rolling. The last piece of putting a bow on what all we've discussed this year, some of this stuff ad nauseum, to be honest with you, but I want to put a bow on it for all the people, Ron. The players that the Texans have been linked to, I got four of them, and I think a couple of them more so than the others. I may be missing somebody. If there's somebody you think of, please let me know. But I got Kelvin Banks Jr., the offensive tackle, left tackle we've discovered his entire career at Texas. Kelvin Banks Jr., Tyler Booker, which is an interior guard for the Alabama Crimson Tide. I mean, he is supposed to be tried and true, cut from the same cloth as Will Anderson. That's the guy that's probably been most tied to the Texans. Obviously, Gray Zabel, which is a guy that is just an interior offensive lineman that could potentially be reachable for the Texans in the first round. We'll see. And then Emeka Ebuka, he's the wide receiver with at Ohio State that they've been linked to. Am I leaving anybody off the list or you know, there's some guys we'd like for them to be linked to, but they seem to be a little bit too high for the Texans to reach. Early on, there was Luther Burden Jr., or Luther Burden III, I'm sorry, was linked to the Texans. Those are the prospects right now that the Texans have been linked to.
Some of the other, Conley Jr. is one, Simmons from Ohio State, the other tackle. Yep. Those guys have been linked a bit too, but
Well, that's where we're at, man. You've got when we started the segment, you got draft picks. Right as we started, you got more draft picks. You're primed and ready to make a move in this draft. You got a general manager that is not afraid to make a move. You got all the picks that are necessary and the players that the Texans have been linked to. We will find out exactly what the Texans do with that first round pick a little bit later tonight. But between now and then, again, get down here to Avenida Plaza. They bring the kids down. They got all kind of fields set up, soccer, football, all kind of stuff going on around us with music. And it's starting to fill up, boys. I need y'all to tell me. I may have stepped outside my bounds a little bit earlier today.
Where?
Well, I was getting me a little workout and went for a little jog. You know, when it gets hot like this, I like to get out and get a bit sweaty. So I went for a little jog. And I'm gonna tell you, I don't know if I'm just old or what, but my damn knees and feet, man. Woo. But while I was gone, I was out jogging, and I'm coming back in the down the street. You know, it's not necessarily a neighborhood; it's kind of just a street. I'm coming back in the street, and my wife's pulling out. Well, I get back to the house, and I go before I jump in the shower. I'm gonna take a leak, and I go in there, and old toilet's plugged up.
Oh, it's not flushing. You, this must have been from you earlier.
I did have a bowel movement earlier, but mine was in the laundry room. I didn't do it in the utility room. I didn't do it in the primary bedroom. So I just pulled out the old tweeter machine.
Went into the Twitter spheres?
Yeah. I said, well, look here. I said, y'all ain't gonna believe this. I said, but my wife, she plugged up the old toilet and then left and ran off and went to Pilates and left me no plunger in the bathroom.
Why did you do this?
Well, she
why did you do this?
She's claiming it wasn't her. She's claiming it wasn't her.
Well, who the hell else was it?
She's blaming it on me, but I don't believe it. I don't believe
you
so.
You don't believe you used it?
Now, she could have just used too much toilet paper in her one of her little tinkle sessions. But
ladies are known to do that.
I mean, she claims it wasn't her. I may be in some hot water. It probably wasn't a good idea to talk about it on the radio either. Twitter already got her pretty
hot. So like, because this is, we're getting into Nico Harrison territory here. Like, what made you think, like,
man, hey, we all poop.
Plug up the toilet.
No plunger.
Hit Twitter. Did you hit her up before you hit Twitter to ask?
No, but I tagged her too.
Oh, tagged her.
I said,
didn't hide it.
I said, say it ain't so at Lauren Sterner. Say it ain't so. Mm. She responded. She absolutely did not do that. So,
Lauren,
she got some thick skin, man. I mean, look, I ain't gonna get in a doghouse over no tweet, am I?
Nah, or the radio?
Nah,
why not, right, man? Why not?
Just everybody in her life, like her coworkers may be listening, her boss may be listening.
You know her better than I do. Hopefully, you're not making a speech that says like, you know, yeah, I knew Lauren had some thoughts about keeping her toilet issues private, but I didn't know it was to that extent that she wanted like Nico Harrison to go come up there.
Hey. I'm going to tell you, I mean, social media is the devil a lot of the times, but there is times when it's absolutely
Lauren, listen, I got you back here. I don't know why he does the things he does. but you know you doo-dooed in that toilet. and you know you locked that up. I don't know. Maybe it was a shrimp scampi. I don't know what it
Hold
is.
Hold on, Coach.
But you know it. Just own it.
The people that keep coming at me with like, bro, you're going to be sleeping in the garage, man. Hey, man, what the hell are you doing?
They bypass the couch.
Oh, yeah, man. It's rough. I don't know. We'll see. I'll keep you posted on how it goes.
she said she caught you on the couch. No, sleep out there in that hot-ass garage. No, I want this couch, dude.
That's one
of my favorite things with Tyler. Tyler, don't believe in that one. Sleep on the couch. Hell no, sleeping on the couch.
Hell nah. I worked hard to get all the money I paid for that couch. I probably moved that couch into my house.
Bring that up to Tyler.
And I moved
Tyler
my damn bed
mad.
Into my house and paid for my bed. I'm going to sleep in my bed and not on the couch.
Tyler said you could get your ass on the couch.
Get the hell out of here. Tell me where to sleep. I ain't telling you where to sleep. Sit over there and pout.
Hey, Clint Tyler said the first time that was brought to him, he said, damn it, that's a television show. This is real. I ain't sleeping on that damn couch.
You need to go to sleep on the couch. Let me think. No, I ain't going to be doing it.
He said, hell no, this ain't step by step. Shoot, I'm sleeping.
You can take your ass somewhere if you want.
Say, Boy Meets World, I apologize for step by step being the first show that came to mind. All right, coming up, man, we got to get to the man of the hour. If you weren't proud and happy for what you saw from Jalen Green last night, as Clint would say, I don't think I could share a drink with you. I really don't. We got to get into the man of the hour. That was a special, special performance last night. He was the best player on the floor with an all-time great on there. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Hey, Houston fans, I am so happy.
Live from Avenida, Houston. Getting you set for tonight's Houston Texans draft party. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Welcome back into draft coverage as we are here live downtown as things are getting put together here for the Texans draft party. as we said, the gates open here at 6:30. Hey, they got food trucks around here. Greg Popovich is walking through here.
Not Rudy Tomjanovich. I know we're used to seeing Rudy places.
But Tyler, that wasn't Greg Popovich. Thank God he got out of his I know he had a health scare this week. Thank God he got out of there and was able to make it down here, and he's walking
I don't mean to make light of it, but since he's out, I guess I will. Did it shrink him?
Yeah, he got a little shorter here.
That old boy there got figgy.
I walked over. I said, is that damn little Greg? Greg Popovich?
little Greg?
It is little Greg. But, no, man, it's a good time being had. They got food trucks. They'll have food trucks around here. They got drinks, and I'm sitting right across from some. Drinks for for you, the adults, and also for the kids as well. You can see the Texans cheerleaders. You can see Toro, the mascot. You can see some of us hanging with us and the Sports Radio 610 personalities, and even some of the engineers. You'll be able to see them as well. So a good time.
You can get your face painted. The kiddos can get their face painted over there free.
Ooh, I might get my face painted.
Well, it's for the kids, but free face painting.
That goes right. You get your face painted and get you some tenders too, Tyler.
It's for adults too, Clint.
Tyler likes to go to parties and get tattoos. To hell with face paint.
That's true.
Like real ones. Yeah. It goes and gets them done.
That ain't got Tyler, man. If they break out the ink and needles, Tyler's
out.
In.
He's in. He's in.
RSVP into that.
He's in. I thought about going to that deal when they did the tattoos. I thought about going in there and seeing if I get a personal one done.
You would not have been able to.
Let me go up in that H. Do you think you could do an R?
You can't get a discount. Hey, bub, forget that H, man. Give me an R.
Yeah, can you do an H for me?
You could do an H.
Could you do an H for me and then go UGHLEY underneath that H? Just a little extra. I tip you. But no, if you are late, and I do want to get to Jalen Green here in a second. If you are just jumping in right as Clint's Dirty's Daily started, breaking news was hit because there's a trade. If you're just jumping in, my guy right there, he don't even know that that Nick Caserio just made a trade. There's a trade just made in the draft. The Texans are trading 2 fifth-round picks in the draft. Their 2025 fifth-round pick, which is 166 overall, a 2027 fifth-round pick to the Browns. Yes, the Browns again. And if you would think the Browns, hell, they might give them their first for that. But the Browns are trading 2025 sixth-round picks, 179 and 216 overall, as well as a seventh-round pick in this year's draft. So the Texans are getting 3 extra draft picks. They now have 9 total. However, they don't have any in the fourth and fifth rounds. So they'll have the draft pick in the first, 1 in the second, 2 in the third, and then they will have those 2 in the sixth and 2 in the seventh. So that's where they stand right there. 5 picks being traded. The Texans get 3 picks in this year's draft. So that is the latest.
Let me paint something for you.
What do you want to paint?
What you say we draft at 25? We just stay steady at 25.
Just stay there and try to get up higher in a second.
And then we use the extra second that we have next year, and all them little measly late picks that they just picked up from the Browns
to get George Pickett.
And we move up, into the second round. What do you think?
Something's happening. I could see that. I could see them doing something to move up higher in the first. I could see there's going to be some movement, right? I almost would be surprised if there is not movement today, right?
I guess what I'm saying is if you use it right with the extra 3 this year and the extra 2 next year, you could potentially. Now I don't know how crazy Nick wants to get in this year's draft, but you could potentially end up with 3 picks in the first and second round this year.
Get out.
Yeah. Well,
you add that to that squad, boy, you're moving the needle there.
You could, yeah. Yeah, or they could say we are going to move up to get the dude we want. To me, it's just like when you combine all of the smoke that we were getting, everything from, I'm talking the Diana Rossinis, the Peter Schragers, the James Palmers,
Jeremy Fowler,
the Jeremy Albert Breer, all of those reporters who are very, very, very well connected coming in and saying, yeah, man, don't be surprised that the Texans move up. Hey, I think the Texans are on the move. Word is they're on the phones trying to get up, trying to move up. And let's be honest, from what else we're hearing, Clint, there ain't a lot of reports of teams dying to go up.
Right.
Most of the thing is teams. So they may be one of the few teams that are actually trying to move up. We've heard what Jacksonville, for some reason, rumored to want to get up from 5. We've heard maybe some other things. So they may be, and so it may not be a lot of competition for them to have to move up in this thing. So something's in the works. When you combine, like I said, all the smoke that everybody's been talking about here, and they're going to move up, and then all of a sudden, a few hours before the draft starts, you know, he gets 3 more picks in this draft. I would imagine something's going down.
Yeah, man, it's just when you look at it again, his willingness to move, the extra 2 next year, the extra 3 this year, now all the extra late picks this year, boy, it's and doing it right now before day one makes you think it's a day one move.
Yeah. That's what I would
think. Yeah. I know we got to get to Jalen Green. Sorry about that.
We could get to him in the next segment. We've run through that.
Well, I mean, he deserves every bit of it, man. What a damn night.
Yeah, we'll get to him. By the way, someone texted in. People are texting in about your earlier thing. Said Clint, you may need to be prepared to go and stop and get some flowers on the way home.
We're gonna get your flowers for sure.
Yeah. I just remind her who gave them 2 little beautiful girls.
I think,
man,
she should have been better. Maybe Liv flushed something down the toilet. You remember that pencil? Pencil took us out for 2 weeks.
Liv don't mess around in our bathroom, back in the bedroom much.
I'm trying, Lauren.
She don't get back here much.
I'm trying, Lauren. I'm trying to give you it out.
Now, look, I'll make it even worse. I bet you it was just overloading that toilet with some little tinkle paper.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, we're really working on flushing the toilet in the night.
Yeah. And now, you know, the thought is, well, what was the need to overload
with the poo poo?
Really get it clean? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, to overload, yeah. The toilet paper.
And again, I'm on your side, Lauren. Have been the whole way. All right, we gotta get to Jalen Green. As Clint just said, we got to talk about him, man. It was his night. It was his night, his best game to me in the history of his career when you talk about the stakes and everything that was on the line and the pressure he was under. Were you surprised? Let's start with that thought of it. Were you surprised that Jalen Green stepped up in that moment in that pressure situation in a must-win game that way? We'll discuss that next.
I'm so high on the Rockets.
Live from Avenida, Houston. Getting you set for tonight's Houston Texans draft party. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we are live here at the Texans draft party right across from George R. Brown Convention Center.
Rock and roll, man.
And Clint, I want to kind of get right to it, man. Today is a lot about the draft and what's going to be happening with the Texans, and now we see Nick Caserio making moves, but we still have to look at last night in a must-win game. And I posed this question in the tease, like, were you surprised that Jalen Green gave that performance and that spot, right? And that spot being we talked about it yesterday. And we have Brandon Scott on, Clint. He said it was a must-win game. He said he did not see the path to them winning this series if they go down 0-2 going back to San Francisco. I was in that same boat. You were in that area, too, that it felt like a must-win game. And he stepped up 38 points, 6 assists, 3 rebounds, or 4 rebounds, 3 steals with 2 turnovers last night. He was special, his best game he's ever played, especially when you take in the stakes of this thing. Clint, were you surprised that he bounced back like that, that he gave that performance last night?
No, sir.
Really?
No, sir. Look, I mean, there's the only thing that's going to surprise me with Jalen Green is if he can consistently do do it over an extended period of time. Right now, I mean, we've seen great. Now, hell, in two games, we've seen the best and the worst. You know what I mean?
We've seen seven to 38.
Yeah, no, I mean, the seven was more surprising to me than the 38. The game one performance was much more surprising to me than the 38, especially if you look how he got to 38. That's a big number. But I mean, he hit several down. It was one of those. That game for the majority of the fourth quarter was a hard watch. I mean, it was not good basketball. They were walking up and down the floor. I mean, Jalen Green, the guys were getting wide open shots. I mean, Golden State was, they were ready to tap out.
I mean, it was over. In the stands.
And he knocked down.
Talking towards the, yeah.
Yeah, he knocked down several shots late to make that number look so just wow. But the thing about Jalen Green is nobody knows this. I mean, hell, this is the dead horse that everybody beats, if you want to call it a dead horse. I mean, it's like you don't know what you're going to get from him. And in two games, we've seen the best and the worst, literally the best and the worst performance of his career. When the stakes are higher and he went for 7 points and it was just an abysmal outing. And then, you know, you see last night. So, I'm not surprised. I would be more surprised if we see another bad game than I would if we see more of those big time games like that.
Text line coming through, as I said, were you surprised in that moment that Jalen Green put that type of performance together, that he came out, had his best game that he has ever played? Someone texted, no, I'm not surprised. He was drafted as a scorer, and he just needs to live up to his potential. Last night, just said, you're forced to play your game. Is coming from the text line. Tyler, if you could help me out back there, and the audio of Jalen after last night's game talking about where he was in game one. If you missed him, this was as transparent as you can ever hear an athlete. Most guys don't even want to say this to even admit it, to have it out there. But this was Jalen Green after last night's game, saying where he was in game one.
It was more so mindset. But yeah, that first game, you know, the lights were bright, the crowd was here, the court looked huge. I couldn't really get a chance to, you know, settle in. My legs was a little shaky, but you know, that's part of it. Went through it, and you know, I feel like I did a good job answering back.
When I heard him say that, Clint, to think of the pressure and how he was feeling going into his first playoff game, and then Clint, for him to play the way he did, and listen, we talked about Fred a lot, but I think most people looked at it, hold on, man, you're this team's best player in many respects. You came out here and scored 7 points. Shingun showed up with 26, but you came out here with 7 points, right? That's what you're 3 for 15, all right, and you score 7 points. To me, like, the pressure didn't subside, Clint. It was ratcheted up. It was must win. And I would not have guessed on my bingo card, Clint, that he's going to play the best game he's ever played. I thought he was going to bounce back, Clint. But, like, if you'd have told me, yep, he's going to go out there and by a mile be the best player on the floor with Steph Curry in it. You know, Jimmy Butler, obviously, he got hurt. But with that, that's not something that I would have placed money and bet on. That would I'm talking about the severity of what he did, how good he was. That was to me surprising, based off the pressure he felt going into game one, which I think was probably doubled or tripled going into game two. Showed a lot about his character.
Yeah. No, look, I agree. I wouldn't have bet on it. Tyler's the only one that would have bet on it. He did.
I told Tyler, I said, man, you don't know what he's going to do.
Well, I mean, and we I'm still don't. I mean, betting on it and being surprised are two different things. I'm not going to be surprised by anything. But after that outing on Sunday night, I'm damn sure wasn't going to bet the over. Tyler's the only one that let him hang, and he not only hit the over, hell, he doubled it up. So, that dude ain't going to surprise me at nothing that he does. I promise you that.
Yeah. Someone texted in playing devil's advocate how much of Jalen's success last night was because Butler was out. Listen, I mean, there's an opportunity they could have put Jimmy Butler on him, but to Clint's point earlier today when we talked about the Jimmy Butler injury, Jalen had it rolling before Jimmy went out. Like, yeah. You can see, like, it was early, and you could see, like, I don't know if you could see 38 and 8 for 18 from 3, yeah. but you could see early, like, yo, he looks like he's in it. He's ready. Like, he looks like he is in there making good decisions.
What?
The first play of the game, he makes a great decision. The early jumpers went down. You could tell he was in it. So,
well, look, if Jimmy Butler's in that game, I think the game's completely different. And, yeah. I think the game plan in the second half for the Rockets is completely different. I think they're rolling downhill. I think they're playing a lot more aggressive like they were in the first half. And so who knows what Jalen Green's numbers would have looked like. But I want to make sure I understand that Jimmy Butler not being there obviously changed the game and was advantage Texan. I mean, advantage Rockets. But if you look at when he was in the game, they were handling their business. They were on a mission that day, or they were on a mission yesterday. So we'll see how it all unfolds, if Jimmy's coming back and if Jalen can keep this thing rolling. But what a performance, man.
No, it was. It goes down as with the how big of a deal it was with the pressure of it. It goes down as one of the big performances. All right, we'll just real quick before we go to 5 o'clock fire, Clint, to touch a little bit of what's going on with the Texans in the draft. We're hearing a connection to tackle a lot in this draft, potentially Banks, potentially Connelly Jr., wherever they go. If they go and get tackle, is this a clear signal that Titus Howard is moving? Like, in your mind, if they go, because I know at one point you had heard, I think it was Nick talking, and you're like, hell, I think Titus might stay at tackle. If they go up and draft a Banks, let's say that's the name we've been hearing connected, is that a signal to you that Titus is going to guard?
It would be hard to make sense of the Cam Robinson move and the Trent Brown move, and then a first round tackle selected. It would make it
behind
would,
a second it, round tackle it, selected
it,
last
it,
year.
It would make it hard to argue that Titus is going to stay at tackle. I think the organization liking Titus at guard is more likely than drafting a guy in Banks that's been a left tackle his entire career at Texas. All of a sudden wanting him to play inside. Like, I just, again, some teams have that luxury. And I just don't know that the Texans on the interior offensive line right now have that luxury. Take a guy that played tackle his entire career, move him down inside to guard where we don't even know if we can communicate yet. We don't even know who the center is going to be yet. Like, I don't know that's the best bet. Yeah. So if they do move up and get Banks, I would think he's plug and play tackle, and Titus Howard is going to be one of your guards. I don't like Titus at guard nearly as much as I like him at tackle, but I'm not going to poo poo the plan. You know, I said it before. I would like to see him commit to him at tackle and let him be a tackle and be done with it. But if you're going to move, like if you're going to make that kind of move and move up in the first round to get a Kelvin Banks Jr. And play him at tackle, and you're going to commit to, hey, man, Titus, you're going to be a guard. Damn it, that's how you're going to be. And your whole offseason is going to revolve around doing guard things. I'm not mad at that plan. Hell, I'm higher on Titus at guard. I've been higher on Titus at guard than most people anyway.
Yeah, to me, if you draft a tackle, right,
and 2 years in a row.
As you have said, you've repeated what D'Amico has expressed, that we expect the first round pick to be a step in day one starter.
That's right.
Clint, it is hard to make sense of the offseason of, all right, this offseason we're going to go and get Cam Robinson and give him $14 million. And then we're going to go and get Trent Brown and bring him in. And then we're going to have drafted Blake Fisher last year and then draft in the first round and potentially move up in the first round to get another tackle, and the plan not be Titus Howard at guard. That one's hard to think, right? Because I don't think you would say, all right, we'll have Banks and we'll have Titus at the tackles, and then we'll just have Cam Robinson, Trent Brown, and Blake Fisher, who we drafted in the second round, you know, still over there. I mean, that's a lot of swing tackles.
All of that at tackle, in the meantime, your whole goal was to fix the interior offensive line. That doesn't seem to add up. So, but you've got a bunch of options. If they go O-line in the first round, it's going to be hard for me to complain about it. Boy, it's going to be a good day.
Yep. All right. As we continue here, 5 o'clock fire coming up next. And we'll get into the big stories of the draft, right? We've been talking a lot of Texans. There are other big stories in the draft as well. If you've missed it, I know a lot of people are getting off work, getting in their cars around 5. We'll tell you about the early draft trade that Nick Caserio has already made that will affect the draft this year. We'll tell you about that. The Astros, they got a sweep yesterday against the Blue Jays. We will also touch that as well. All of that as we continue right here live on The Drive.